Chapter 89. Lysander. Triumph of the Long Night. I stand looking out at Heliopolis from the Lady Beatrice. Cassius is alive. I do not know how or why, but somehow he survived the Rim's perversion of justice. Diomedes must have had a hand in it. Was it for honour that he was spared, or some nefarious purpose I cannot yet divine? I would ask the man, but he departed Mercury to prepare the Rim's entrance into the war long before Heliopolis's liberation. Pytha told me he searched the Ladan for 10 days for his sister before departing with a heavy heart. There is a war inside me. I would have given nearly anything to bring Cassius back from death. Anything except this. He died for the Rising. Now he fights with them. He is my enemy. I cannot come to terms with it. I believe I am the only one who knows Cassius's hand in the fiasco at the mound. If Atalantia found out, the ramifications for me, for the Rim, would be calamitous. Whatever pact Cassius made with the Rising earned the Archimedes a boon. Her new engines were faster than any the core ships possessed. Her hull cloaked even more thoroughly than Atalantia's hunting corvettes. I sense Quicksilver's hand at work. Because of my old friend Darrow, Harnassus, Telemannus, and the core of the Howlers managed to either hide on Mercury or slip out of its orbit. Their army was not so fortunate. Those who survived the Long Night, as they now call it, languish in camps south of the spaceport, pressed into labour to rebuild the planet they helped break. After seeing the ruins of Tyche and northern Helios, I know it will be no short affair. Today is the first day since recapturing Heliopolis that the city does not rattle with sounds of construction. The cranes are quiet in the city sky today, but the streets bubble with noise. Rooftops along the Via Triumphia writhe with colour and jubilation. Mercury has turned out for my triumph. "Are you there?" I ask the air. "Apollonius?" No one replies. "Whomever are you talking to?" Glerastes crows from the doorway. "Just phantoms." Did he ever really exist in the desert? Did he follow me? Or was it the imaginings of a sun-leached brain? "You look as if you were bound for your own funeral," Glerastes says. My old friend sways up behind me to look out at the city. "It may yet be." "Oh, please." "Do you have it?" He hands me the duck's pendant I made for Roan. "I am told there are crescents painted upon every street corner from the Hippodrome to the spaceport. You go too far." Glerastes shrugs. Today he wears silver and white, the colours of my house. On his neck is a gold chain with a great pendant of an eye with a ruby iris. The eye of the society. The greatest award any civilian can receive. Octavia gave it to him long ago at the unveiling of the water colossus of Tyche. Though Atalantia has not executed him as a traitor yet, neither has she gifted him with a pardon.
"You're projecting frustration, dear boy. Desist! I am the artist. If it is to be a diva duel, I'll match you cry for cry, and then piss on your pillow and blame it on my dead ocelot. And you'll wonder if I'm insane, and I'll cackle because, yes, yes, I am, and I can get away with anything."
"Atalantia still may kill you," I say. "Don't forget."
"If I were a betting man, which you are, then I would wager all on the proposition that my head is more secure than yours, young loon. After all, I am the best kind of hero. Harmless, and you are the worst. Young with a name."
I sigh and lean on the railing with him. I suppose I did ask for theatrics.
"Yes, dear boy, and right now they're the only thing keeping you alive."
That and the furor for the air returned that sweeps through Mercury and the legions. I really don't mind it much at all, but I fear grandmother's wisdom. Will Atalantia break me if she thinks I eclipse her in the mirror? Ajax already tried. With my polite imprisonment in the Lady Beatrice, and Atalantia spurning my requests for an audience, I fear he is pouring poison in his aunt's ear. She will think I did this for my own glory to supplant her. Did I? Glerastes searches my face.
Kalindora was asking for you.
I know.
She said it was important.
I say nothing. Kalindora's wounds were mended by the Medici, but not the poisoned darrow's blade slipped into her bloodstream. She is dying, and I do not think I could do what I must were I to look at her in the eye before the triumph.
Do you love her? Glerastes asks.
I look at him. I left her on the ground to chase darrow. What a hideous thing to do. I never had the chance, but I believe I would.
Then I will find a cure.
You're not a medicus?
No, but I am a genius.
Heavy boots clump the tile. Roan stands in the entry. I am appalled by his armour. It is as black as the space between stars. Purple bands cover the joints, and on the chest plate is a silver crescent moon inside the pyramid of the society.
Dominus, the shuttle has arrived. Where did you get that uniform? I ask.
Roan looks suddenly embarrassed.
Their old gear is on Venus, Glerastes explains. I had new uniforms made in Naran and shipped here for the occasion.
You have to stop. The provocation
exists regardless of the accoutrement. I know, I know. You are not the sovereign, nor do you campaign to be, but you are the last blood of Selenius. If Atalantia wants to kill you, she must kill your destiny before the eyes of the worlds.
Atlas Aura waits at the Grimace shuttle, eyeing the ceremonial dress of my guards. It is a product of chance that he survived the long night. When the power died, his cell went into lockdown. I hear the queue to kill him was 1,000 men deep. How he must have smiled at them as they beat at the doors. Roan says it took the man's Gorgons 4 hours to drill into the cell to free him. He looks peculiar, groomed and without his desert gear. His fear knight ceremonial armour is bone white and perversely etched with screaming children. Unlike most, he does not hide his true vocation behind gilded heraldic symbols. Yet there's an anxiousness to him here in civilization which I did not see in the desert, a sort of alienation from the very thing he sought to protect. "Aren't you minorly overqualified for an escort?" I ask. He eyes the Praetorians.
"Aren't they minorly overdressed?"
"For a funeral?" I ask.
"Kalindora has several days yet," he says without pleasure.
"It says something about Kalindora that even a man like Atlas would look at his toes considering her death.
I know the poison. It is favoured by the Skugi, slow but thorough.
We both know I wasn't speaking of Kalindora." He eyes me with amusement.
"Well, Loon, I suppose that depends entirely upon you."
Our shuttle arrives at the staging area outside the storm wall of Heliopolis. The triumphal arch that was commissioned in haste by Glerastes stands before the open gates. It is the most heterogeneous gathering of any triumph I can remember. Glerastes' servants mill together, gawping at the spectacle as they share cups of wine and receive instructions from the copper planners. Hundreds of the loyalists who answered my call and risked their lives to save their city are here, most a mid-colour, though many lower amongst them. I could not have designed a better message to the people gathered here. You saved your city. You walk with me. Behind them, sprawling out into the desert, are the hundreds of thousands of soldiers captured in Ajax's failed assault on Heliopolis. Their line snakes 4 kilometres long, gold, grey, obsidian and blue, drink down spirits passed out by reds and browns. Together they sing the ancient hymn battle cry of the Lightbringer. If only Aja could see this. If only my parents could. A buzz goes through the assembly as I walk to my place at the honoured 4 with Glerastes and Roman. the drunkest of the loyalists, shout my name or begin to applaud. A copper Arctarius bustles over to me with a huge data pad and a gaggle of assistants. She greets me with alacrity and guides me to my chariot. It is made of the finest Mercurian onyx, Dominus, a gift from the dictator herself. It is incredibly light compared to most triumphal chariots, and with four of the dictator's Bucephalon geldings to pull, your charioteer will be... I raise a hand. She stops mid-sentence.
Of course she favours geldings, Roan whispers.
I hide a smile.
You expect a self-respecting loony's gold to ride in onyx, like a Venusian sprite?
Glerastes replies.
Our loon has brought his own chariot.
Several Praetorians wheel it forward from one of Glerastes's shuttles.
But the colour coordination...
The Arctarius squeals before my Praetorians guide her away. Roan stays to oversee the Sunblood's transfer to the white chariot Glerastes had made specially for the event. Pytha watches me from amidst Glerastes' servants. They lower their heads as I approach. My friend held me in her arms for 3 whole minutes when Atalantia's men delivered her to the estate. She tilts down her eyeshades at me.
My liege, she says with a bow.
Since I told her Cassius was alive, she has been distant, spending most of her time in Glerastes' gardens.
I've decided I'll be sticking around.
I'm stunned. It is not what I expected. May I ask why?
You need me more than the old boy does.
Her eyes dart about at the sycophants watching us.
Be ashamed to see you survive the desert, only to die in your sleep.
She jerks her head.
Now get. The worlds await you, my liege.
I return to the chariot to see the horses ready to go. Roan pats Blood of Empire on the neck and begs a word before I mount. His eyes focus on my chest.
I merely wanted to say, formally, we failed your family. More than once. I never thought I would see the Praetorian Guard reclaim its honour, my liege. I never thought I could reclaim my own. But you gave us the opportunity.
His eyes find mine.
We will not fail you.
There's equal parts pride and humility in this man. I wish he knew for a single moment how high the legions hold him in esteem, but if he were capable of knowing, he would not be Roan T. Flavinius. I worry for him, for what awaits at the end of this triumph. I have seen how easily lives are spent. I do not wish to spend him or the 300 who survived the Ladan. I put a hand on his shoulder. I believe for some reason that our fates are entwined, Flavinius. I will need you today, tomorrow, and all the days after. Within my household, I grant you the title of Dux. He blinks at me.
Dux, my liege?
Are you fit for the task?
A Dux is an appointed right hand with unlimited imperium within a house. His word is my word. It is usually, but not always, reserved for golds like Aja, who was my grandmother's Dux. It will honour him as he should be honoured, and at the same time show the greys of the legions how I reward loyalty. I have the sneaking suspicion that as go the greys, so go the legions. After all, they do outnumber my race 1,000 to 1. As Glerastes would say, never pass up the opportunity to shore up your foundation. I pull the warrant of Dux from my pocket. He lifts his head, and I seal the metal to his forehead. The skin burns as the hawk and crescent moon meld with his flesh and bone. He salutes with tears in his eyes and mounts his horse to follow my chariot. I join Atlas on the chariot. He rides as my dagger shadow, a place of honour and trust. 2 things he has not earned in my eyes, but Kalindora is too sick to stand where she ought.
He's a good man, Flavinius, he drawls. Be ashamed to waste him.
Is that a warning? I ask.
Advice, rather.
He glances at Clearastes on the horse next to Rhone's.
It seems you heed the wrong men.
I know how to handle Atalantia.
That would make you the first.
I lean past Atlas and press a DNA scanner on the side of the chariot. There's a thrum as the reinforced pulse shield flickers into place, distorting the world around and encasing the entirety of the passenger compartment with enough shielding to take a direct hit from a Pelum missile. Atlas chuckles.
A promising start.
Trumpets signal the beginning of the triumph. A blind white girl walks ahead of my chariot with a flaming torch. With an old white guiding her, she finds her way to the crimson curtain that hides us from the crowd. She pushes the torch into the wall. Flames lick upward. When they have consumed all but the topmost remnants of the curtain, my charioteer snaps the reins, and the chariot rolls forward. We are swallowed by noise. A street cleared of rubble bisects a sea of humanity for 4 kilometers, until the street bends to the right. Millions roar on the ground, on the rooftops. Trumpets blast, bells clatter on horses. The sound washes over me as we ride forward. An honor guard lines the parade route, not Votum or Ash Legions. I feel the chill of the past. The Praetorians have returned. Thousands of purple and black-clad men and women stand with their rifles shouldered. I glance back at Rhone. He smiles and bellows, "Praetorians! Ad Lusum!
Loon! Invictus!"
They have returned from their disbandment by the thousands. The Fear Knight's voice is barely a whisper.
Poor choice, young man. Poor choice.
I miss the desert. It was simpler there. The route is 12 kilometers long, exactly the length of Selenius's first triumph on the Via Triumphia from Hyperion to the Citadel. After 10 minutes, I am exhausted from sensory overload. Flowers cascade, children rush from the crowd to bedeck the honoured with floral wreaths of mountain flowers. The battle cry of the Lightbringer echoes through the city, verse after drunken verse. Military ships hover with snipers to cover the rooftops for signs of terrorists or agitators. Despite the best efforts of society forces to round up all the enemy at the spaceport, it's inevitable that thousands more will have melted into the city. A triumph in this climate is as good as a death sentence. And we all remember Darrow's fated day. But how could I refuse Atalantia? Of course, there are snipers. Shots slam into the pulse shield over us and send response teams swarming over rooftops. I almost pity the shooters. With each shot, I wonder if it is Darrow's men or Atalantia's or someone else's. Who knows? The procession carries through the heart of the city and comes to a halt at the mound of Votum. The statue of Helios still lies fallow in the sea. High upon the steps of the great palace, Atalantia waits, surrounded by the 200 heads of the prominent remaining houses. The brooding false killers, vile Asmodeus Aucathiae, and Cicero Au Votum are all there. The Carthiae tap their feet in resentment, as if they have better things to do. The Votum beam at me. I saved their city from extermination. And now they see a chance to escape from under Atalantia's thumb.
"Remember, you are but a mortal," Atlas whispers into my ear.
I hop down from the chariot.
"As are we all."
He frowns as I ascend the steps toward Atalantia. Ajax looms behind her amongst her officers and Olympic knights. She smiles in lovely fashion. Behind that smile is so much malice. She wonders, just as the crowd and the Praetorians and the soldiers wonder, when we come face to face, will I kneel? When I reach the top of the stairs, the crowd goes silent. Atalantia is in pure white. Her shoulder spikes are gold, her necklace, that dreadful pet Hypatia, and 2 ornate gauntlets of gold cover either hand. Her gold razor is at her side, but I know she looks at the broken sling blade I wear on my right hip. It is the envy of all the legions.
Darling, I do believe you took me far too literally, she says with a sexual sigh, as she looks at the left half of my face. I said, earn a scar, not become one.
I left room for one more.
From boy to man, and all it took was a little friction, she replies. If I knew it was that easy, I could have made a man of you myself.
She winks and draws her razor.
Shall we make it formal?
I can practically hear the tension coiling in the parade behind me. I expected my stomach to ravel into knots, but I feel impossibly calm.
All men are not created equal.
She draws the razor along the right side of my cheekbone, cutting deeper than necessary to give me my peerless scar.
So you have proven.
She does not return her razor to her hip, but watches my blood run along its edge. Ajax stares a hole through my head from amongst her officers.
Look how they fawn over you, she whispers of the crowd. 10 years you abandoned them, and now they drool like inebriated sheep. Disgusting.
She tilts her head at me.
It's funny, isn't it, how some questions continue to be asked, even though they've been answered in every age? My favourite is one you're probably dwelling on right now. Is it better to be feared or loved?
We both know the answer to that. Her teeth flash as she glances at Atlas several steps beneath me.
Don't we just?
I imagine it will be a sniper, I ask.
Oh, you did not fence half so well as a child. It's a dreadful red, pulled from the depths of their unholy hoard. I thought about doing it myself, she replies. But we've seen the value of martyrs, haven't we?
And to think the heir had returned, only for his head to disappear with the flash of a distant muzzle. She leans forward.
Good thing he has others to carry the flame in his name.
And it will come when I put on the laurel, I say.
She coos. Aren't you just the most precocious of creatures? Yet you came anyway.
Could I have refused?
No, not really.
There is an alternative to nepoticide, I say.
No, I don't think there is. And you're not technically my nephew anyway.
I glance at Ajax. From what I hear, the position is taken. She laughs at my boldness.
I wished you no ill, but Ajax did what he did for me, because he guards my heart's delight. You see, I will sit on the morning chair. I will become sovereign. I will establish an empire. First there was Loon, then there was Grimace. Much as I love you, darling, my destiny will not be denied, not by those sneaky Moonies, not by Darrow or his piglet wife, not by you. But, by all means, beg.
I'd rather not.
Then shall we proceed with your assassination?
She motions for the white. I hold up a hand for her to stop. The crowd whispers behind us. The legions shift anxiously. Ajax can barely wait another moment for my blood. With a smile made especially for Atalantia, I bend a knee. Ajax stiffens and takes a half step forward before remembering how many watch. All this I did for you, I say, playing to her vanity. Atalantia laughs.
Oh, Jove! It is begging, then.
She looks away.
How vile!
All this I did for you, I repeat. Her eyes become interested. This fits her understanding of the world. When you looked at me on the Anihilo, you saw the boy who used to run with Ajax through the Palatine. All I've wanted since my return is to be a man in your eyes. Her suspicion heightens. I don't want to be the sovereign, I say with all honesty. I have no desire for it, no claim on it. It was never meant to be hereditary. It was meant to go to the strongest, and if I tried to take it from you, it would tear gold apart. Her gold gauntlets clink together. You are part, at any rate.
I did not beat Darrow. You did. I just pushed the blade home.
I glance at the gold families behind her, ignoring Ajax.
The carrion birds circle us both. They seek division between us, because it feeds their own delusions of ascendance. We must show them unity.
Her eyes narrow. What are you proposing?
That Grimace and Loon become indivisible, once and for all.
Her lips curl into a wary smile. She doesn't even glance back at Ajax.
Formally?
You are feared. I am loved. What better marriage could one hope for?
I ask. To save Heliopolis, I had to undermine her. To undermine her, I made an enemy of her and validated her suspicions and the poison Ajax and the Carthii have likely been putting in her ear. I do not love her, as my parents loved each other, but duty outweighs my heart. This is why I could not look Kalindora in the eye. I knew I would remember how she brought me the Praetorians in the desert, how she helped me when my face was a tattered ruin, but as she left me to the storm to save herself, so I must leave her behind.
Two can be a very awkward number, Atalantia says carefully.
Not so long as all know who kneels.
What a matchmaker you've become. Rim and Cor, Loon and Grimace.
She ponders the idea.
When the old milk bat sets the crown on your head, don't take my hand.
That's my answer, and her signal to whatever sniper lurks in the buildings. Whether it is death or life, I will not know until it has happened. There are cheers of relief as we turn together toward the crowd, but the cheers are far too premature. Neither Ajax nor Atlas know what has happened, but down below, Roan and Glirastes wait for the answer. The white steps forward, her dark face as ancient as her tattered robes. Milky eyes watch me with inhuman distance. Her hands hold a green laurel crown. My heart thuds in my chest, forcing my vision into a tunnel.
Son of Luna!
I barely hear her voice for the blood in my ears.
Today you wear purple, as did the Etruscan kings of old. You join them in history. You join the men who broke the empire of the rising sun, the women who dashed the Atlantic Alliance into the sea. You are a conqueror. Accept this laurel as our proclamation of your glory.
She sets the laurel on my head. Atalantia smiles beside me. I lift my right hand, open, as is the way, to grip invisible destiny. Atalantia does not seize it.
Per aspera, I say.
Ad astra, roars the human sea of Heliopolis. No bullet finds me.
Celebrate, my love, Atalantia whispers, for you have lived before death. In the immortal words of Plautus, let us celebrate the occasion with wine and sweet words.
The triumph festivities extend well into the evening. The sounds of rooftop parties and the debauched celebrations of the core golds within the mound itself lap at me as I stand with a cup of wine atop the stairs and watch the brown and red crews sweep the flowers from the Via Triumphia. I smell roses as Atalantia joins me from behind. Her gold gauntlet squeezes my shoulder.
Bored of the sycophants already, my love? She asks.
On her neck, Hypatia stirs to eye me before returning to her slumber. My grey Praetorians in the shadows watch her obsidian ash guard with their hands on their rifles. We have not yet shared news of our pending union. Considering how much wine Ajax has downed, it would be violent timing. As a boy, I always wondered how you put up with them, I say.
And as a man?
I wonder how you put up with them.
You would do wise to make friends. Many have spent their years climbing the ladders
to heights upon which they might share wine with a man like the heir of Selenius. If you spurn them, they will hate you.
Let them hate me, provided they respect my conduct.
I want to show you something. She extends a hand. I glance at my Praetorians. I've held your life in my palm before. I haven't squeezed yet. She smiles innocently. Don't you trust me, my love?
I nod to my guards. Tell Rome to enjoy himself. I am with the dictator.
Atalantia's shuttle flies us over the desert. As we ascend, I catch sight of two lines of impaled bodies that lead out of the city and into the desert.
Reds and golds, Atalantia says. It stretches to the sea they stirred. The others can work or join the line.
To react would be to lose respect in her eyes. To contradict would be to make her doubt my acceptance of her supremacy. So I remain silent. Her shuttle takes us to the Anihilo. The triumph has spread to its halls. Soldiers toast one another in mess halls and give proclamations that soon the Legion Eagles will fly over Luna again. Atalantia leads me along by my hand. Her meditation chamber has changed since my arrival. Gone is the garden, replaced by sleek black walls and a white floor. The mural of our family still hangs on the wall. The viewport looks down on drowned Tyche. The waters have receded, but the city is in ruins. Only the water colossus stands equal to its former glory. Atalantia brings me before the viewport.
This is our victory, she says. 3 days from now, I would like for you to break ground and lead the restoration of Tyche personally. Glerastes will be your master maker. You will not want for funds. I intend to deliver most of your inheritance from my own coffers.
Her largesse surprises me.
All the worlds will see that what the slave king destroys, the heir of Selenius will rebuild greater than before.
I examine her face for some sign of deception and find none. Just a deep feline satisfaction.
Why? I ask.
Because my husband must be loved.
She turns her body to me. Her gold gauntlet strokes my burn and slides to cup my head. Her eyes flutter. Her tongue wets her lips as she pulls my mouth to hers. Her teeth glide along my bottom lip, nipping tenderly. She pulls back, sees something in my eyes to her satisfaction, and then crushes my mouth against hers in hunger. Her tongue probes mine, and the heat of her body presses against me as a gauntlet strokes my groin. My blood quickens in guilt. I feel light and heavy as my hands explore the taut muscles of her back, sliding down and down and down. I pull away. Ajax is a puppy. She puts a finger to my lips as I try to protest.
On your back, love.
I find myself obeying, watching in lust, as she removes her jacket and clothes, till she wears nothing but the snake and the gold gauntlets. She cuts off my pants with a small blade that emerges from a finger of the gauntlets. She takes me in her mouth, and I shudder in pleasure as she crawls up my body to put me inside her. She gives a little gasp, her mouth hovering just above mine, and then a devilish smile grows on her lips as she begins to grind back and forth between the drowned city and the mural of our dead family.